and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. True Wealth has been on the air for, I'm thinking maybe 15 years or so. That seems really weird to say because I remember my first show like it was yesterday. And probably even better than these shows. And I mean that. But anyway, so we've been on the air. We're sponsored by Coins Plus, and it started out as a kind of a weekly financial kind of an update thing. And my main concern at the time was all of the unethical, advantageous, well, taking advantage of people by, there was a radio show on called The American Advisor with Joe Battaglia from Goldline. And they would, you know, there'd be a lot of good, true information. They'd get people to call in who just recently invested, who always sounded to me to be extraordinarily naive. They didn't realize what's going on, and they, you know, they wanted to be part of the game and all that. That's all good. But it's just the bottom line was they had account executives, commission salespeople. They were way, way overcharging. We were dealing on a daily basis almost with people coming in with these gold line portfolios that were just, they were upside down in them. And it was just wrong, unfair, you know, obviously angered me. I'm a real, I have a hot button for injustice. Our business, by its very nature, is extraordinarily low, low margin. Companies will get a hold of our what we sell is rare, you know, desirable, liquid, anonymous, transportable. I mean, it's a special thing. It's real money made by God. And so I've had people say, well, if that's going on, you know, I used to be a little more candid because I was talking more about the financial end of it. And I'd have people say, you know, if that's going on, I'm not going to buy gold. In other words, if there's a risk that I could get taken advantage of, I am not going to participate. And you have to think about it. What's interesting about precious metals-based assets, as I call them, is you're dealing with the true free market. Pretty much, folks, the oldest tradable commodity in the human history. As I say, as long as, you know, it goes back to the beginning of written human history. Bottom line. Been there from the very, very beginning. It's the true stuff. Interestingly enough, it is not regulated and hyper-regulated like every other thing you'd buy. You know, and I mean, I don't care if you go buy a car. They have all the Mulroney laws, which cover what the sticker says and what, you know, how much they can mark it up and how much they can quote and all this stuff. And then you have what's called the bushing laws, which protect the consumer from being sent out in a vehicle and being told before financing is either secured or reasonably believed to be accessible. In other words, when I was a business manager for, when I was the head business manager for Appleway Motors back in the day, we had like 12 guys that worked under me, and we had to have a reasonable belief that an automobile, or I'm sorry, a consumer, buyer, customer would be financed. And we, you know, and obviously when you're in the business department, the finance end of it, your job is two things. One, you're cleaning up the mess of car salespeople. Not all of them, but some are terrible. Some are really terrible. Others have high integrity. If they have too high of integrity, they don't seem to last very long, which is another story. But you're protecting the store from their sloppiness. And you're also, you know, you're handling the financing. You're just making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and everything straight and upright and, you know, done according to the law and the rule. And, you know, when, excuse me, when I, you know, you got that, you got stockbrokers, I mean, stockbrokers have to be careful. Now, this is a kind of a little dichotomy that just popped into my mind. You have stockbrokers, and then you have insurance salesmen, okay? Folks, this is not where I intended to go, but you know what? Follow the spirit. Do not buy annuities. Do not buy an annuity. What am I saying? Do not buy an annuity. Yes, they have all kinds of different names. And yes, you can get, I mean, I don't even know all the names. I've kind of gotten away from it because they just make me so sick. They're such a ripoff, okay? They have extraordinary fees. I mean, annuities, I don't know how much time to spend on it. But the bottom line is, what you think and expect is not what you get, okay? I'll be honest, when I was back in banking in the day, I call myself the red, white, and blue American banking boy because I was a regional sales manager for Bank of America back in the 90s, and I had to unify logos in the Northwest states, and, you know, and they had all different branches were running their own ads and running different ads, and they had, you know, people were, you know, a lot of people are sloppy, undetailed, or uneducated, lack knowledge as far as how to do stuff like that. So things just generally tend to vary, and they tend to evolve into worse. Second law of thermodynamics, right? Everything's heading towards entropy. So there was all these different logos for B of A. Bank. Some would say Bank America. Some would say Bank of America. Some would say B of A. I kind of created just the BA. Just a B and an A, and we did the red, white, and blue, right? And that's the colors of coins plus. And that's when we really kind of solidified the red, white, and blue for B of A. That was around the time we were acquiring C First Banks, which acquired Security Pacific Banks and that sort of thing. The thing is, back then, the red, white, and blue was, you know, that was the American thing. I didn't know any better. I didn't know a lot. I thought annuities were conservative investments. I never really looked into them. I should have. I should have known more, but I didn't. But then that's then, and this is now. I have been, okay, annuities are sold and provided by insurance carriers, insurance salesmen. So how do I know what I'm talking about? Well, let's go back. First of all, I've been in money for 30 years of business, roughly. It's what I've always done. I have a college degree in what's called, well, in applied mathematics and statistics with an actuarial science option. Actuarial science is the study of or the application of mathematics to calculate all of the statistical and probability analysis for insurance companies or any other company that has a statistically measurable risk-based analysis ability. Even casinos, you know. So, but I worked for a large corporation called Equifax that subcontracted actuarial services to every major insurance carrier out there. I've been I've been licensed in, at least four states in every possible line of insurance from, you know, personal injury, property casualty, all this stuff. So, I mean, and then, of course, I kind of grew up in a home where my dad was an insurance agent. And so I had exposure there. And I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed, which is the two major licenses for, you know, stocks, bonds, equities, even all this kind of stuff. So that's where my mind is. Not to mention regional manager, or we're, you know, spending a lot of years in banking, dealing with people's money and finance, etc. So I've had people say, well, of course you only like what you sell because you're biased. Well, I've talked a lot about bias and skew, and it is my goal to be objective and honest and true. Yes, we're all biased. Sorry, if you don't think so, that means you're probably more biased. Because everyone's biased because there's no such thing as a center line, really. It depends on what you're using as your target. My target's God in the Bible. That's my center line. Wherever that sits in the spectrum of things, I guess it depends on your perspective. Kind of like Congress, you know, you sit on the left or the right. That comes straight out of the Bible. It says the fool leans to the left and the wise to the right. And there's other stuff about that. So, yeah, I, you know, everyone's biased, but I'm trying to be objectively wise. So, annuities, folks, some of you probably already have them. I have customers that have gone out and bought them even after listening to me, not knowing what they're doing, just, you know, having a chunk of money come in, not, you know, being in too big of a rush, getting hooked up in town. There's a one guy who's part of a family of a bunch of brothers that, you know, one of them has a really good presence in town with some charitable organizations and whatnot. And, you know, I've dealt with a couple of them. And, I mean, it's just, it's all the same, folks. It doesn't matter if someone's a Christian or not. The annuities are terrible. They take your money. They make you, they tell you things, crazy things. Oh, you know, you're going to be in the S&P 500 fund. We'll put you in the NASDAQ fund. We'll put you in the Dow fund, whatever. Because they'll say, well, the Dow's gone up 20% a year. And so you're going to be in the Dow fund or the NASDAQ, whatever. There's all these different things. It doesn't matter. It's their own proprietary fund. I can call something. I can say, folks, send me your money. I can say, you know what? The S&P 500 has been going up 16% a year or whatever the number is. And I am going to, and I have a special S&P 500 fund, and you can put your money into that. And I'll say, remember, the S&P 500 has been going up 16% a year. That doesn't tell you what my fund's doing. It doesn't tell you how I even included whatever I included in my fund. I can name it whatever I want. I can also put caps on it. That's what insurance companies do with your annuity fund. You'll get 1% or something. But guess what? You don't get it. Good luck. You got an annuity? Cash it out. Call to cash it out. Now, sure, you call your agent and he knows you're up to something or he knows you might get a feel. They'll play along a little too far. Yeah, sure, no problem, Mr. Smith. If you want to cash that out, you know, right now your statement says you have this much or whatever. But then really try to cash it out. You can't. All of a sudden, you got surrender charges up the wazoo. I've helped people you wouldn't even believe. You know, 20% the first year, 19.5% the second, 19% the third. You know what I mean? Then you get into these premium bonus fund garbage. You give them $100,000. Well, every statement you get in the mail, it shows you have a premium bonus. Your statement shows you have $110,000. Well, look, Martha, we made an automatic. This beautiful company just gave us $10,000 free. You really believe that? No. They'll say, well, that money's not really yours. However, you are accumulating it. They'll say, it's our money. A, lie. There's no money there. It's a number on a piece of paper. But B, they'll say, you know, but it's our money. But we're letting you use our money to collect the interest. So you're getting 10% more interest. 10% more than what? 10% more than 50% too low? Yeah. So if they're paying you 1%, you think I'm crazy? That's it. Well, you got an extra 10%, so you're getting 1.1%. Ooh. But try to cash it out. Well, first of all, when you cash it out, the 10%'s gone. Now you have surrender charges. Some of them are worse. I saw a gal here a while ago that wanted to do a portfolio. She had a 7-year, 30% surrender charge. Why? I know why. Commissions. A good friend of mine had... A very good friend had family member had his grandmother die. They, you know, she wasn't well to do. They emptied her house. She had this little safe. They got to the safe last. in the safe, they found 10 shares of stock from like the 1950s or something. And when they went and checked them out, they ended up being the Pfizer Pharmaceutical Company. And you know what happened there. So then my friend, his mom, and his sister, I guess, or whoever else it was, got to split, believe it or not, like $5 point some million. So he put his into rare coins. We did some other stuff. I mean, he got into collectible knives, and he put, you know, 100 and some in that. And then he got tired of it, and we sold them for him. We kind of set it up online and all this stuff. But his mom went out without talking to anybody, and she got this annuity. She's 74 years old. She passed at 76. My buddy goes to cash out this annuity. Oh, no. There's no death benefit on this annuity. 1.6 or 8 million, whatever it was, no death benefit. Salesman got 35% commission plus bonuses for writing a policy or an annuity, which is a policy for an elderly lady without a death benefit. The average lifespan, you know, the mortality at rate in America for a woman is about that. 75, 76, whatever. So he's writing a policy based on the assumption that she's going to die. He's getting the fattest check he can get. Can you imagine that? $1.8 million at a 35% commission? I mean, a $630,000 commission? And this is a well-known name in town, my friends. Well-known. Among Christian circles, too. This is why I get so frustrated. I just have such, like I said, injustice really bothers me. What I call situational ethics. Every one of us, you know, God calls us to be fair in the darkness and the light. We are the light of the world. You know, you don't put a basket over a candle, it says. And I mean, you don't hide your Christianity, and you also don't use it as bait to lure people in to take advantage of them. I've seen that a lot in business. So these annuities, I could go on and on. I've helped a lot of people. If you got one, you want to get out of it, let's look at it. But you got to bring me the paperwork. I've been able to work miracles. I've got an insurance commissioner involved in some cases. The one I just told you about with my friend whose mother was taken advantage of. He had fought with this for 6 months. I called the insurance commissioner. I miraculously, the assistant insurance commissioner was miraculously a guy that I'd trained in basically fitness in college. And it was kind of a God thing. It was pretty awesome. It was handled quick and easy. I can't promise anybody that, but I can promise that I'll go to war for you. I've gone to war with these companies. I've had situations where clients have, let me kind of step in their shoes and work the deal with them present or not present or whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll take care of you. Now is the beautiful time to get into metals. It really is. There's so much going on economically. It's kind of mind-boggling, frankly. I mean, we have so much scramble, and there's so much chaos going on. We're like, oh, it's an election year. You know what? It's always an election year anymore. It is absolutely, really train wreck. We got Bernie Sanders, who doesn't want to be called a socialist. He's a Marxist. I mean, really, folks? Seriously. Would you ever have thought the two competitive candidates to go up against a conservative incumbent would be a professed Marxist and a homosexual with a boyfriend? Yeah, I know. It's politically correct now to say that's all normal and okay. You know what? I agree to an extent. I believe in live and let live. I believe that each and every man has a right to live his life as he chooses. As far as that goes, I'm libertarian. Technically, as far as that goes, I'm traditionally Republican if you read the Republican platform. But we also have the right to vote our faith. That's where the condemnation begins. We're harassed, belittled, mocked. Why? I learned years back when I was in corporate America climbing the ladder, and I climbed fast, and I wasn't what people would call a suck up at all. I climbed fast in spite of myself because my numbers always outperformed my personal comments, we'll say. You know, so anyway, when you get, you know, just to bounce back. So your two options there, you know, was in the insurance-based salesman. And what I was saying is the insurance-based salesman does not have the regulations that the SEC puts on stockbrokers. Okay, so they're selling this financial program, annuities, and all folks, they change all the names around. I've had people bring me these great big folders and they, you know what? It's very simple, right? They say like in interrogation, the truth is simple. It's easy to explain and it's easy to understand. If you're talking to someone and they're not giving you straight answers and you can't understand and you're confused and you just keep asking questions and it just seems like it's really hard for them to explain. No one's ever gone through this with their teenager, but that's when they're lying. You look at these insurance annuity, well, they don't use the word annuity. They use, you know, bank on yourself, and they keep changing the names. You look at their brochures and pamphlets, pages of pretty pictures and empty words. Special people write this stuff up. It says nothing. Literally says nothing. No parameters, no guarantees, no nothing. They even have a checkmark box on the form you sign to get the annuity that says that I agreed to not accept any paperwork on this. This is true. It's on the form. Most of you have signed that form. If you have an annuity, most of you have signed that form and agreed not to accept any paperwork and you don't even know it. If that sound ethical to you, we all know the whole insurance salesman thing where, you know, and I'm not against insurance salesmen. Like I said, I was in the insurance industry. But when you get into, you know, the annuities, and in fact, insurance salesmen need to sell insurance. I don't have a problem with that at all. And, you know, there's always those guys that you're going to dinner and they're coming after you, right? They're selling. That's what these guys do. I had another client who was one of these salesmen selling these terrible annuities, and he'd come in and put his profits, if you will, the spoils, into rare coins and precious metals. Why would he not be buying his own product? That's the first thing I want to know. But he and I didn't agree on some stuff, and eventually we had an ethical crossover. I had a client. We had a common client, and he did something. And we parted ways. But he said to me, I confronted him on it over time, and he agreed. And I've heard this from a good, quote, Christian stockbroker, too. Both of them who've done heinous financial things. They both said, well, I got to feed my family. So, in other words, this is what I do for a living. I've always taught my kids, whether they're listening or not, I don't know. Seek the truth no matter the cost, okay? You go through your life and you find out you've been pursuing the wrong thing. The minute God enlightens you to that, you have to be willing to turn around and go the other direction or wherever God wants you to go. It's called repentance. God honors that. He respects that. If your goal is to please him and be holy and righteous, he cares. He watches. I've talked to people, even lately, a guy who's been through the ringer in life. Well, first thing, two good friends, actually. People, one of them's just tremendously successful, incredibly respected, just, you know, at the top of his game, at the top of a major division of government. And even he is dealing with, you know, family stuff. And the thing we've talked about is we have to be responsible for ourselves. We cannot change other people. We cannot have a victim's mentality. If we screw something up bad, we can't say, oh, that's just an isolated incident. No, it is a pattern in our behavior that manifests itself. My business recently is dealing with a fair-sized loss of gold through the mail because of an employee faux pas. And it's not isolated. There's just certain patterns that take place, and eventually they come to fruition. You reap what you sow, right? If you're thorough and you do everything to minimize risk, there's always that act of God. But, most of the time, it's not an act of God. Most of the time, we can go back to our behavior and see things that we did that lead up to it. We need to take personal responsibility for ourselves. And I started on that because people that are unethically taken advantage of the body of Christ, not good, not fair, not right. Stocks, like I was saying, I was talking about investing in metals a little bit ago and just the regulatory aspects and the lack of regulation. People will avoid it because it's not highly regulated. People ask me questions. How much can I buy gold, or how much gold or silver, I'm sorry, coins, whatever, can I buy before I get reported? None. Not really. You're never reported. None's the wrong answer. Infinity. Or in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, seven. There is no reporting when you buy. People want to bring in cash. We've got, we can take cash, but we can also do other things. Cashier's checks. Personal checks have to be held, but that's okay. You're locked in on the date of purchase. Whatever the price is, we wait for the check to clear. You can't take possession of the gold until we go through our clearance period, which is 10 days. People be like, well, the check cleared my bank 3 days ago. Yeah, well, if you'd been in banking like I have and sat where I have doing the hundreds of millions of dollars of business over the years, I've seen checks. I had one check bounce 28 days later. Someone had stolen the paper, and I won't get into it all. So, yeah, don't be so sure just because on your statement it says it clears. You might know you have the money. We just have a 10-day grace period. But the thing is, that's the regulation concerns is reporting. And then when you sell, we sell all this stuff. We sell you tons of stuff that's not reportable. There's no 1099 that goes out. Now, I'm not professing to be a tax advisor or be giving tax advice in any way. It's your choice what you do with your money. But we're not rifling out 1099s. Which is what goes to the IRS and says, hey, look, this person just had this income. Please make them justify it and verify it. You invest with a majority of these companies across state lines. People call them. They want your Social Security number. They want folks' identity theft, city. No, we don't do any of that. None of that. The only time we get that information is for safe deposit boxes, and it's an internal thing for obvious reasons. Somebody dies, we have to verify who they really are. We can't just go off of, handshakes. But none of that ever leaves our house. It's ours. It's confidential. And by the way, if you need a private, secure depository service, I mean, folks, we've been in business 25 years, and I've got a very strong background. We're highly capitalized. We have no debt and lots of assets, and we have had our safe deposit box is a long time, never a problem. Very the highest secured box system you can find. I mean, the building around it was built from the ground up with just layers of, you know, feet, multiple feet of concrete and steel, literally steel rebar, 1-inch rebar on 80-inch centers through 16 or 18-inch composite concrete panels that are made out of a special concrete to destroy any type of tool, from a drill to a saw. That's wrapped in 1-inch thick T1 tool-resistant plate steel. Very, very tough stuff, etc. Heat sensors, seismic detectors, 24/7 motion surveillance stored at three separate locations. 42 cameras around the building. We have walls that in a, we have either the extreme concrete 16-inch walls, bullet and bomb-resistant polycarbonates, where you see what appears to be glass internally, military-grade Kevlar that can resist 50 cal bullets, 800-pound bomb-proof doors. You get the picture. It's pretty secure. It's a lot more secure than any bank. Well, not that's not true. It's a lot more secure than any of the new banks that they build. The new banks are just flimsy. Old banks were built to last. Now we rely on technology. Then we relied on structural integrity. Structural integrity in the long run pays off. For some reason, our pre-flood friends, descendants, ancestors, used massive, massive structural integrity, huge masonry. You know, we all know about the pyramids. I met a guy years back that was the head of oil exploration for Exxon North America. All kinds of cool stories tell me about in the Gulf and other places. There are massive masonry cities under the water that they run into when they're doing their screening of the surface. And they used to notify whoever the officials were, and they'd say, okay, great, thanks. You can't drill within 50-mile radius or whatever. And so they quit reporting them. But, you know, this stuff survived the flood and everything else. We don't know the whole history of it. For some reason, they had the 700 to 900 years they lived. Maybe they had more time to build the stuff, and their time schedule was different. That stuff lasts at the bottom of an ocean. You take one of our modern homes, if God sneezes, the city's gone. A little bit of fire, a city's gone. So, you know, structural integrity. I built this building like Fort Knox as best as I could, okay? So regulatory concerns, I discussed that, right? So, you know, maybe today we'll – I'm going to kind of breeze through I just want you to really open your mind and realize how crazy we've gotten with Bernie Sanders as an example. We've got, I don't want to spend a ton of time, but listen, here's, I'm going to go through Bernie's policy. Why? We're not voting for him. No, you live in the United States of America and you have these candidates that I've described. Before this, when Trump won, why are the left so wacky? Why are they so livid? Because Trump is not part of the crowd. He's not the in crowd. He truly is a newcomer. Remember Drain the Swamp? Well, you start draining the swamp and you get these swamp creatures coming out. And I'll tell you what, in history, I don't know if it's ever gotten this bad. But people, we turn on the, as my dad called it, the boob tube, the TV. And we watch and we get brainwashed, perceived confusion, perceived deception, whatever you want to call it. There's so much that goes into TV now. There's a rhythm. There's a pulsation rate that comes out of a television that they've studied and studied and studied that activates our interest. The colors, the you know, the rhythm, everything, you watch it. And then they just feed you these lies, and they're so egregious. If you listen specifically, I want you, next time you're seeing something like this, or as an example, people who call me and go, do you ever buy coins on that TV show? It's like, really? You really think that I'd be buying coins off of a TV channel? I mean, seriously, folks, it is such a ripoff. Don't touch it. I'm sorry, I'm not discouraging everything, but yes, I am, I guess. It's a ripoff. Do not buy coins on TV. But what I want you to do next time you see something like that, forget about the TV between you and them. Just imagine that man was standing right in front of you, talking to you like that, selling you at that pace and at that intense level. You would run away. For some reason, when that TV is between us, I mean, can you imagine sitting across the table from Jake Tapper or, you know, Jim Acosta or one of these guys on CNN sitting across a dinner table with them spewing this garbage? I know there's people out there I talk to, they don't have a TV or whatever, you know, good for you. I use mine. I watch some Fox News I'll watch some Apple movies. My wife and I like some of the older movies too. And, you know, once in a blue moon, I flip through late night when I'm working and I'll watch like Jimmy Fallon. He's like the only late night comedy guy I can handle. All the rest are, they think they're political commentary. And then you get guys like Bill Maher, one of the most filthy, vile, God-hating liberals on the air. And he's making statements that make more sense than the rest of them. He's talking about how pathetic the Democratic Party is, how they're hanging themselves with all this impeachment garbage, how Nancy Pelosi's losing herself. The third most powerful human in the world, the most powerful woman in the world, tearing up the, you know, State of the Union speech behind Trump. I mean, folks, you live in a time of extraordinary chaos. The big question is what comes next? That's what we're not sure of. Because we've got Trump, final overriding factor or resource. I've done this multiple times, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 or 2 Timothy chapter 3, how people act in the end times. Okay, now you might think, well, people have always been this way. No, they haven't. Our country's never undergone a coup attempt. These are socialist, let's call it what it is. These are communist attempts to take over the United States of America. Joseph Goebbels, Nazi propaganda guy. Tell a lie long enough, people believe it. Bigger the lie, easier they'll believe it. That sounds stupid, but guess what? It's true. And they are insulting our intelligence. You look to God and the truth and the Holy Spirit for your wisdom and guidance. And that's that. Truth is truth. The real thing is you have to remove hindrances that exist between he and you so that you can hear. You've got to want to hear an unabridged, unbiased, unskewed perspective of God's will. We all go with our own bias, with our own agenda. The true key is to go to God without that agenda. As I said, 2 Timothy 3, you've heard this, I'll do it again. Realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. You know, and here we go. We got ourselves a little Hebrew here in front of us. Difficult is the Greek word kalepos, okay? Hard to do, hard to take, hard to tolerate. People hard to approach, fierce, perilous, hard to bear, troublesome, frustrating, dangerous, right? Savage, fierce, harsh. I said those words. You got it? Fierce, harsh, challenging times will come. People will be hard to approach. You'll be frustrated. It says, for men will be lovers of self, okay? Lovers of money. That's a different time. There was years and years, people didn't worry about their money so much. There's people that are motivated to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. But the love of money is what? The root of what? all evil? Is that really possible? For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's kind of powerful. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? I'll get that up here in a sec here too, and we'll go back to this. So, anyway, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant. Think about it. Revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving. Okay, and on we go. The thing is, we've got a time when, well, we've got what we call millennials. How about that? I mean, think about that. That we've got this new generation where you've got Bernie Sanders promising free everything, free lunch, free college, free, free, free. Will they get it? Heck no. Why are we so foolish? I don't know. People keep going for the same thing over and over and over. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of what? All evil. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Those sorrows, by the way, are referred to as the cares of this world. But I just want you to think how profound that is to say the love of money is the root of all evil. I have to philosophically process that. I haven't gone all the way into that. But then I go to Solomon. Money is the answer to everything. I think he was pretty much saying the same thing. That is really weird. Money, wealth, maybe accumulation. I know people will sue or, you know, steal or whatever to get what they don't have and what someone else has. It's just a heavy concept, I guess. So we'll continue. Just the times we live in, right? Unloving, irreconcilable. Well, they got ungrateful, unholy. Okay, remember that. Irreconcilable, malicious gossips. That's terrible. There's no control of the tongue. There's no desire for self-control, which is the next one, interestingly enough, without self-control, because I was thinking the gossips is just there's no dignity in self-control anymore. There's no reward. You get, and I hate it if I'm offending some of you, the millennials, the thought process is me, 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 I. What can you do for me? I just talking to a good friend of mine who's, you know, a principal, in other words, not like at a high school, but a principal owner of a major international corporation who had a kid who, you know, he has all those degrees and all this stuff. And he wanted to interview him for a job, and he did. And the kid says, well, I'm just interested in working 8 to 5. And this is an exec position. I don't want to work anything else. I want to just go home at that point. I mean, folks, this, you might think, well, yeah, you know, family's important. Folks, yeah, it is. But so is your work ethic and integrity. Do you think Joseph, when he was, you know, lifted up to oversee most of Egypt under, you know, Pharaoh, do you think he was like, well, Pharaoh, you know, I know we've got, 18,000 ephahs of wheat coming in, but, I gotta go home and hang out with the wife. I mean, nothing against that. Don't take me wrong, but you get my point. You're committed. The man works, woman holds the fort down, watches the kids. Ooh, that's sexist. And I understand there's women that are motivated and like to work. You know what? That is not contradictory to the family, nuclear family structure that God created. Look at the Proverbs 31 woman. People try to say, well, the Bible is old and archaic. And it's, you know, it's out of whack. It doesn't understand. It doesn't fit modern times. Wrong again. We have Proverbs 31, which maybe I should look up, that tells us what a godly woman looks like. This is the woman that God really likes to see. This is the woman that he made. This is the woman that he made for the man. Now we're talking about that. Wow. He says, he talks about a worthy woman, Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find. For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now think, I'm going to go on, but the trust in her, it doesn't mean that he's comfortable that she's not stealing. It's trust. It's entrustment. It's stewardship. Just like God, the relationship between man and a woman is symbolic of the relationship between, between Christ and his church. The woman represents the church. The man in a marriage represents Christ's. So it says the heart of her husband trusts in her. Think about it. The heart of Christ trusts in that church. And of course, that church is led by leadership, and I won't get into all that, but it's not trust like theft. It's trust. It's entrustment. I've been an employer for many, many moons, okay? There's people you can't trust, okay? They won't make the right decision. Everything they do is 80% of whole. It's used the term, but it's half-assed. I've been down that road. Mediocre. He's saying she's not mediocre. If I give her something to do as a husband, or if she will go above and beyond the call of duty. That's how we're judged in this life by God. We're not judged for sitting around and having good emotions towards God. Oh, I feel so good, God. I love you so much. And folks, a Proverbs 31 woman is what we're supposed to be. And you know how miserable people become when you have to justify the fact that you... not all of us are going to be this perfect superstar wife, but it's your spirit, it's your right-mindedness towards God. As the Bible says, righteousness before God means right-minded. As a woman, a wife, you've got a different set of talent. You just do the best with what you got. If you end up in a situation where, as a woman... you don't help with the finances. You're not much of a cook. You really don't like to clean, and I've seen this. I had a friend with a wife that, she was always using these spiritual, missions conferences and camps and all this stuff to take off all the time. And her husband was running a business and their house was a total dump. I mean, it was horrible. Stacks and stacks of pizza boxes. They had little kids running around, four boys at the time, and she'd feed them pizza every night, put them in front of the TV, and she really wasn't financially astute. She wouldn't cook. She wouldn't clean. I mean, that is not a godly wife. And then she'd run to all these spiritual events, but that's not pleasing to God. God, there's a lot of things that are biblically laid out that are not negotiable. I know of a situation where a wife, and she's very respected in the church, of course, and they're highly spiritually connected and involved in aspects of the church, but she will not, she's, and I don't know how they've worked it out, praise the Lord for certain marriages, because I couldn't do it. She will not touch a bill. She has no clue. Same thing. Won't cook, won't clean, won't do really much of anything except sit around and be spiritual. And I mean, that is not what God calls us to be. God does not call us here to learn how to get a spiritual buzz, which is what it is. It's emotion, to the point where when you're in that situation, you become highly judgmental. You learn how to be really good at it because you care about people and you're so loving and you want to pray for people. malicious gossip, as it said in the end times, that can be cloaked in, you really need to pray for them. They're struggling. Take the focus off of me. It's called diversion. So anyway, I got on that. I can't imagine anyone would disagree with that. So what's God want for a spiritual woman? A godly woman. The heart of her husband trusts in her. I love that, by the way. You can tell because it's, I feel that with people that work for me, my wife and everything. You know, trusting, knowing, at least it's in their hands. I know they'll do the right thing, right? And he will have no lack of gain. So the wife isn't going to be squandering money and wasting stuff and, you know, not caring. I mean, basically, it's as humans, our existence is dynamic. None of us are stagnant. We might think that we just exist at a certain level, a static level. We do not. As humans, we're continuously growing or falling behind, okay? You fake it till you make it. You know what God wants from you. You speak that, and you live that, and you believe that, and you thank God for that. Thank you, God, that I'm growing closer to you. Thank you, Lord, that I'm becoming more holy. Thank you, Jesus, that you're helping me to come more joyful. Thank you, God, that you want to bless me. And you want me to live the abundant life that you came and paid the price for, you know, so that we can enjoy life on this earth in the manner that God originally intended. Thank you for that. You know, Jesus Christ said, "For it's not what a man takes into himself that defiles him, but what comes out of his mouth." Right? What does that mean? Think about it. It means when what you speak can defile you. But what you speak can also build you and others up. In Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying or wholesome and edifying for those who hear, that it may build them up. Well, when you're building people up around you, guess what? You're getting built up as well. Very, very critical part of our existence. So if you're struggling with stuff, fake it till you make it. Pray for wisdom. Look for God's wisdom. And what I mean by that is this. It says in Proverbs, wisdom's crying out from the top of the, you know, the mountaintops, the top of the city gates, the top of the walls, the top of the houses. It's everywhere. Wisdom is all around you, as much as you can find. How much do you want? This is written by Solomon. He had been enlightened by God to the highest level of wisdom of any man before, during, or since, which also led to riches, which wasn't his original request. Solomon had been enlightened for wisdom, so he heard it and saw it everywhere. The voices of wisdom, Lady Wisdom, who was, by the way, created long before the heavens and the earth and consulted with God. It says, through wisdom, God created the heavens and earth. And it always refers to her as a woman. Solomon could hear this all around him at all times. He was telling you it's everywhere. Okay? And he said, wisdom, money is the answer to everything. So it also says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Okay? That's an action. Does him good, not passively sitting around. And folks, I'm not trying to, you know, hack on women or anything. I'm just telling you spiritually, this applies to all of us. We've just got different roles. She looks for, at the time, wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's always looking, you know, for a good deal. And she's willing to work. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. You know, now you got Amazon. she's always looking for a deal. She's finding, she's accumulating, she's gathering, whatever. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Wish we had maidens, but we don't. That's called servants. Just kidding. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So she's making business deals, and she's smart, and she's wise, and she's working. She's making the land work for them. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She wants to look good. She wants to stay strong and healthy. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. Okay, that's another form of just of you know sewing, working, looms. I'm not into all that. A distaff has something to do with the spindle. I'm not into that, but, you know, at the time they were, it applies to whatever you got going on today. Maybe she picks up the computer and goes out and makes deals. I don't know. But then she also extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She cares. She's got a heart. Empathy. Empathy is putting yourself in other people's shoes. If you're an employee, put yourself in the employer's shoes. If you're an employer, put yourself in the employee's shoes. Husbands to wives to husbands, right? She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, which was good stuff back then. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple, so she's decked. She looks good. She makes sure she looks good for everyone and her husband because she reflects on her husband. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, because he looks good and he's smart. He's got a nice, beautiful wife. You know, he's respected. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmith. Tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She's excited. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness, no sitting around. Right? Her children rise up and bless her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. And it goes on, and time is a ticking. Thanks for tuning in again. Give us some good 5-star Google, you know, whatever reviews, Yelp and so on. We'll get you a free silver dollar. Do them. Call us. Do 3. We'll verify them and give it to you. Give us a call. Let us help you with the portfolio. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. God bless. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.